Think a lot more, I think, about life. We have a lot of memories this time of year with family. Some has gone on. Some has moved away. It's a bad time of year for some folks, emotionally and mentally. Suicide rate is up a lot during this time of year because people are just lonely. We're going to talk about the real reason, one of the reasons Christ came. And it was to remind us that we are never alone. He came to give us a gift that is so beyond human, knowledge. That when everybody else around us leaves us or forsakes us, or through death or through divorce or through tragedy or through just not liking you no more, just walks out of your life and you feel so abandoned, so hurt, so scarred, we have a Savior who has promised to never leave us, never forsake us. Even when we're in those moments of weakness, those moments of sin, those moments of sickness, those moments of discouragement, God remains steadfast. Church, we are never alone if we know Jesus. And the great thing about it is, not only are we not alone now, but we know we won't be alone later. Because He carries us over. He carries us across the Jordan. He's with us in those last moments of our breath here on earth. He's with us in those first moments we breathe with Him. I really believe there's no separation of God's people from God, ever. And I'm thankful for that. Because it gives us great comfort that we don't have to ever feel like we are alone. See, a lot of times, guys, your wives are not going to understand you. They're just not going to understand what you're battling as a man, what you're going through. You may be quiet about it, or you may be talkative about it. And you may hide things or hold on to things that you think they don't understand, and you can't talk to them about that. But God understands. God understands a man's heart. God understands a woman's heart. That when we as men don't understand you as wives, and we can't really relate, and we seem shallow, and maybe we seem insensitive, God understands what you're going through. For our young people, for our children, for our teenagers who are going through such a stage of transformation in their lives that they need so many answers and have none. So many questions but no answers. And they feel like mom don't understand them. Dad don't understand them. My friends don't understand. Nobody understands me. God does. You know, when people don't understand your stronghold or your addiction or whatever the battle you're going through, God knows what you're battling. God knows what you're going through. When everybody else says, you know what, I don't understand why you're the way you are, just change. It sounds simple. And yes, we think it should just happen. But sometimes it just can't happen that easy. And God understands that fight and that struggle. God understands all of our fears. He understands all of our uncertainties. He understands all of our hopes and all of our dreams. He understands all of our disappointments. He understands when we're angry, when we're frustrated, when we're oppressed, He understands those things. You know, as a pastor, one of the hardest jobs I have as a pastor, of course, is consoling someone that I love who's lost a loved one. One of the hardest things to do. You know, I will never forget walking in a room and Chastity's friend when she had lost, her friend lost her baby. And I walked in and Alea was, what, 3 years old? 3 years old. And I wasn't prepared for what I walked into. I walked into Baptist Hospital in the Children's Ward up there in Winston, walked in the room, and the mother is holding Alea, her three-year-old, in her arms, and she is laying there dead, holding her child. I had never experienced or saw that. And you know what? That was something that there is nothing that nobody could have said that could have made that moment any easier. Nothing. I mean, nothing would have mattered. The lottery man could have come in and said, here's $10 million. Wouldn't have changed nothing of that feeling. In that moment, she only had one hope. And that was Jesus. To comfort her in a way that no man could ever bring. There are situations that we just can't help someone with. That it takes the hand of God. Takes the hand of God to heal the brokenness, the hand of God to restore the weak, the hand of God to lift off the oppression, that we can say all the right things and try to do all the right things, but there's times it's just absolutely you and God, and it's God or bust, so to speak. And we read many stories throughout the Bible of men and women who was not alone, who God helped. Let's read some scripture. We'll start in Exodus 33:14. I don't have many scriptures this morning to read. But this is when Moses, that the people of Israel had reverted back to their sin, and they had, you know, been just went wild while he was on the mountain praying, trying to seek God. He come back down, and God tells Moses this. He said, "My presence shall go with you." My presence. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. My presence. How many times have we said to someone that has passed on, "I believe that they're with me today. You know, I believe Gene is with me today as Calvin's getting married. You know, I believe he's with me. I believe Grandpa is aware of what's happening right now. I believe, you know, Mr. York is aware of what's happening today." We say that, the presence of those who've gone on. We believe somehow that they just know or they're with us. Or we make that expression that they're with us. Well, right here, we know God Almighty is with us. His presence is with us. It goes with us. That means everywhere I go, God's presence is there. It means every battle I'm in, God is in there with me. It means I'm not alone. That when everybody else thinks I'm crazy and wants to give up on me, God says, "I'm with you, and I'm for you, and I'm in you, and I understand what you're battling and what you're going through." You know, there are many counselors throughout the world that their job is to counsel people and to help people. And there's just some things that no matter what a counselor says, it's not going to fix it. But God can. God's grace can step into that situation, into that life, and somehow bring healing where all the words fell void. God's presence makes right. He told Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest." In other words, Moses, don't worry. I know these people went wild, right? Israelites have gone wild. They've gone wild. I understand that. And I know it's a hard job I'm asking you to do, to lead all these people on this long journey. I know it's hard, but I'm going to give you rest for the journey, and I'm going to give you rest at the end of your journey. We know what rest means. If we mention the word rest, all of us kind of have this probably expression. Rest. It just makes you smile, don't it? Rest. Like if I was saying, "Y'all are getting sleepy. Look into my eyes." Joe's already asleep. Gail's already gone. Sleep. Sleep. I mean, Melanie don't need to be hypnotized. She'd be like, just say the word sleep, I'm gone. We hear rest. We think, rest. For some of us, it's different. For you women, it's in your pajamas with your coffee watching a Lifetime movie, all right, whatever. Hallmark, excuse me. Yeah, Lifetime, too depressing, too scary. You know, for guys, it might be different. Out by the creek, my fishing pole, all day long, ain't got to hear the wife nag, just me and the fish. Fish don't talk back. I'm resting. Love it. Whatever, you know, it's different. But we hear rest. He told Moses, "I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you peace." Peace. See, God can give us peace in our storm. I've been saying this for a long time. We pray for God to remove the storm, and sometimes he does remove the storm, yes. But all the time, you know what he does all the time? He can give us peace through our storm. That's what he can do all the time. Give us peace while we're going through the storm. It might be raining, but as the old saying, teach me how to dance in the rain. You know, the wind might be blowing, just enjoy the wind. Whatever's happening, just let peace be prevalent in your life. So he told Moses, "I'll be with you and I'll give you rest." Then Deuteronomy 31, he's talking to Moses again, says the Lord, now right here in 31, what's happening, Moses is about to die. The end of his life has came here. He's not going to cross the promised land, but the promise is going to still be fulfilled. And here's what he says, "The Lord, he it is that goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed or be discouraged." See, Moses is about to die, but he's telling the people, don't worry. You still want to cross over. Because see, I'm not the God. Jehovah's the God. And he's going to go before you. He's going to go with you. And he's going to finish what he started in you. So trust God. Keep your eyes on God. Because Moses, me, yeah, I'm leaving you. You're going to bury me in a few days, a few weeks. You're going to bury me and say a few words and move on with your life and I'll be forgotten. But the one that will not leave you and will not be forgotten is God. And he is with you. And he will not fail you. And he will keep you. And he is for you. And he is in you. The Bible says he's an ever-present help in our time of trouble. Present. He's not a distant God we got to shout out and hope that we shout enough time to get his attention. Or say the right words. Or be in the right atmosphere. Do the right jiggy dance. We call upon God. God. Yes, I'm here. I never left you. From the moment I breathed upon you, my grace and mercy, I am forever with you. I'm forever in you. I'm forever your God, and you are forever my people. Man, that's good news. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. We question that sometimes, if we're honest. God, where were you when that happened? Where were you? You could have saved my child from dying. You could have saved my husband from dying. You could have healed my spouse. God, you could have protected that situation. You could have kept my job. Lord, I don't understand why things happen. We're going to say a prayer this morning for someone who texted me this morning who wants some people to stand in for her and anoint her with oil and pray for a release. But I'll talk about that more later. But this young lady absolutely does not deserve, so to speak, what is being attacked in her life. It's easy to question, God, why? But you know what? As long as I know God is there, as long as I know God's not forsaken me, remember what Jesus cried out on the cross? Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? We will never have to utter those words. Ever. The price was paid in full upon Jesus that we would never be forsaken. Man, we'll never utter. We may feel that way, but he is not ever or never will turn his back and say, no. I'm your child, Lord. You're my king. You're my father. You're my savior. You're my Lord. And though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And though I go through storms and tempests, and though the waves are crashing, God, you will not allow my life to be destroyed. You will uphold me. You will keep me. You will watch over me in my foolishness, in my fears, in my uncertainties. God, you pay the path of steadfastness. And if I will just follow it, if I will just trust you, I will see you more and more. We would see God in such a greater glory if we really recognized his presence. Let me give you an example. If all of a sudden, I said, Michael Jordan is sitting in this sanctuary somewhere right now. You know what you'd be doing? Trying to find his presence. And man, y'all would be gawking and not paying me no attention, and you would be looking till you found him. You'd be like a radar. You would be like Melanie seeing the hot now sign. I mean, you would be locked in. Oh, there he is. There's Michael Jordan. Wow. You wouldn't give up till you found him. Because you'd be aware he's somewhere in this room sitting here. Well, Jesus is in this room right now. His presence is here right now. God of all creation is inhabiting these walls right now. And when we become aware of his presence, then we become much more aware of what he can present into our lives. We got to be aware. God, yes, you are there. I'm not even using you like I should. I'm not talking to you. I'm not trusting you. I'm not believing in you. I'm not alone. What am I doing? God, you're right. I'm not alone. I've got an ear that never gets deaf of hearing what I have to tell him. I have eyes that always are watching me, hands that are always holding me, feet that are always walking with me. I've got a God who is always ready and available when I need him, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what anyone's going through. This tragedy, the young 17-year-old student in South Idaho that was killed tragically. Think about that family this morning, celebrating Christmas with this tragedy. The only hope they have is the presence of God in their lives. To somehow, and I can't imagine or process it as a parent, because I've not been there. But to somehow understand God has to settle this family in a way that man just can't do anything with. I actually found out my friend, state trooper friend of mine, was the one on the scene and had to tell the news to the mother. And I'm thinking, wow, how would you even do that? How hard that must be. For all the cop haters out there this morning, I'd have to be the one to knock on that door and say, are you Mrs. Jones? I have to tell you something. Wow. His son told me it affected him pretty bad. He's got kids this age, so it's affecting them pretty bad. Only God can calm a storm like that. Only God can bring comfort. I remember, and I don't think Angela and Mommy sharing this, I remember years ago when Angela and Ronnie lost their son, Casey, at 8 months old, that Angela testified, or I don't know if she testified publicly or just to me. I think just to me, maybe. But talked about how that for a long time she just wanted to leave the earth. She wanted to go. She would lay in bed at night and say, God, just take me. I don't want to live no more. Take me. You know, and for some of us holy religious Christians, oh, we should never say nothing like that. You've not been there, maybe. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how holy we think we are, how Holy Ghost filled we are, how much we shout and praise God and beat the tambourine. When tragedy hits our lives, you don't know what you're going to think until that moment hits. But you know what? God got Angela through that storm.
Can I share what happened afterwards?
Go ahead.
It was awful.
Yeah.
He was giving a choice.
Yeah. And I remember her going through that tragic time, but God didn't let her go. See, it wasn't Angela's time. And through that storm that she didn't want to face for day after day. It's not that, of course, Angela's forgotten Casey and doesn't still have moments of, I'm sure, sadness and thought. But God gives her strength to face life and keep going forward. And that's what God does for all of us, church. He gives us the strength to face our storm and say, you know what? I am with you. In your darkest time, you're not alone. Look at the next scripture. This is Isaiah. I love this verse. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, Roddy talked about that earlier. Let's talk about that. Keep it on that screen a minute, Jeremy, right there. The right hand of my righteousness. We know we're only righteous through Christ. It's the only way we're righteous. We're not righteous by our own works, by our denomination, by our religion, by our church, by our preacher, by our baptism. We are righteous through faith in Christ. Now, look what Isaiah is saying. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I read that verse. I've read it before many times through the years. But when I read it this weekend, something hit me different about this. It means that God holds us secure through his righteousness. Through every storm, through every battle, God holds us secure. I'm talking about our spirit, man. Through his hand of righteousness. We're not alone. We have a God who not only is really for us, but for us for all time. He's for us forever. And that when everything hits our lives, we have a God who holds us above that storm, above that battle, above all of those things. And he holds us secure by his hand of holiness and his hand of righteousness that secures us. We're secure in Christ. Don't you understand that? There's security in God that man can't ever bring you. Security. You're not going to find that same security in relationship in the earth as you do in relationship with God. We put God first, everything else will fall in place in our lives. I promise you that it will. When we truly put God first. There's many people I deal with and I counsel that are in the wrong relationships, wrong guys, wrong girls, dating the wrong people in the wrong situation. And I'm saying, look, you really want to put God first? Get out of that situation. That's putting God first. Putting God first ain't just saying, I put God first. Really? We all know that. Tell somebody you love them don't mean you love them. We say that all day long. I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Yeah. Do you love me? Show me you love me. Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. See, love has to be demonstrated, not just spoken. Just like Christ said, while we were yet sinners. He demonstrated his love while we were yet sinners. He died for the ungodly. Christ demonstrated his love for us. We should also demonstrate it to each other. God holds us up. We're not alone. Last verse right here I want to read. Now I want to get a little something else. Teaching them to observe. This is Jesus talking. And this is after he's talking about he's going to depart from the earth, but he's not going to leave us alone. He's going to send us back a comfort. Are y'all cold? I see some of y'all shivering. Turn that air up. Somebody's mailing back here. I'm cold myself, actually. I got cold in here. Thank you, Roger. What are y'all laughing at? A cold? I didn't do it. It wasn't me. I don't know who touched the air. Well, yeah, that's okay. We got women in here, baby. Women get cold. Women's cold. I got that thin skin. Did you hear me, baby? I said women's cold. I got that thin skin. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What had happened here? Jesus is getting ready to depart the earth. He's telling the disciples, look, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm sending back the Holy Spirit. But you're not going to be alone. Man, aren't you glad we have the Holy Spirit to tap into, to help us, to speak to us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to show us the way, to give us the comfort we needed? I'm so thankful that I'm not just a shell of a human being that has a knowledge of God without an indwelling presence of God inside. I mean, isn't it great to know that? I mean, think about this. It's like seeing a car in your driveway, but not ever being able to use it. Well, that's my car, but I can't use it. I can observe it. I know it. It's mine, but I can't use it. That's like God. Thank God he's not just something we observe. Well, there's God. Yep, I know him. Yep. But we have a God we can use because he lives inside of us. And he's saying, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, boys. Don't worry. Wait on the promise. What's that promise going to be, Lord? Oh, believe me, you'll know it when it comes. Just wait on it. Can you imagine those 10 days they were waiting on this promise? They didn't leave town, and they're in this upper room, and they're just, you know, praying and meditating, and they didn't know what to expect. They just, we're going to wait on God. He said he was going to send a promise to us, so let's wait on it. And boy, all of a sudden, that 10th day, a sound came in that room like they had never heard before. A sound had entered the earth that had never been uttered before. And nobody knows what that sound really sounded. The Bible describes it, but we don't really exactly know what they heard or what it was like. But I know they knew when it arrived. They knew when it hit. And boy, that upper room was filled with the glory of God that came upon every individual person there. All of them received it. And it was so profound. They come out of the upper room and, you know, they're talking in different languages and people are questioning what's going on. Y'all partied too hard last night. What y'all drinking? Something going on. What y'all on? Because we, you know, what is it? Oh, we're not drunk. We're not high. We have been filled with the Holy Ghost. What must we do to have it? Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Church, I am so thankful I walk this earth knowing I'm not alone. Because there are times, I'm telling you, all of us have times. Our kids don't understand us. Our spouse don't understand us. Our parents don't understand us. There's nobody that can relate to what we are feeling other than God. And I'm thankful I have a God I can call upon, I can talk to, that hears me, doesn't call me a big baby or suck it up or, you know, get over it, but that simply listens and then helps me. Church, we all weak. We try to be so strong. You know, Vonsie, I went and picked her up this morning, and she's in that church van. And, you know, I pulled up to park, and she tried to get out on her own. And, you know, she tried to bolt like a lightning. I said, look, don't you move. Do not move until I get around there. Mr. Independent, you understand me? Okay. I had to help her get out because she'll just hop out of that big old van. I don't want to break a leg on our, you know, on my dime. You know what I'm saying? So, that's a, you know, I know we're independent. And we try to be strong and tough. Don't need no help. Don't need this. Don't need that. Church, don't be that way. And women, please, please, you're going to get so mad at me for this, but it's okay. I'm married. I understand it. I don't like when I hear women say this. And I know there's some idiot, foolish, clown men in the world. I understand that. But there are also some good, godly, spiritual, real men also in this world. And I don't like when I hear women say, I don't need no man, I just need me. You are in the wrong attitude. I don't care who you are. Don't care what you've been through. God made men and women to be together in relationships. It's not always great. That's why when you take your vows, you notice the preacher don't ever say, I'll be with you in good and in good. In health as in health. In prosperity as in prosperity. Don't say that. I'll be with you in good as in bad. In sickness as in health. In adversity as in prosperity. I understand you're independent. But I'm going to tell you something. God put an instinct, a natural God-given thing in women to want to lean on a man, a good man, and want that. And Melanie is very independent. She would be fine without me. So I can say this from, I'm telling you, Melanie's not one of these, you know, oh, James, you're my hero. Oh, I can't do nothing without you. Oh, what do I do? Oh, Melanie would be fine without me. She's probably glad I'm gone all day. But I'm just saying, I know there's still a need she has for me. And that's, as long as I know she still needs me some, a little bit, I'm good. You know, as long as I know she still needs me a little bit, I'm okay. And the reason I'm saying that is to say this. Sometimes spiritually we're like, we don't maybe say it, but that's how we live our lives. I don't need God. I'm good. I'm independent. I'm my own person. God, I don't need you. I'm good. We need God. We need God. We need His guidance. We need His understanding. We need His strength. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing wrong with falling out in full submission saying, Lord, I need you every day. I'm tired of feeling alone. I'm tired of fighting my own battles because when I fight, I always lose. So God, I need you to fight for me. And God wants to fight our battles if we'll let Him. We need God and we need each other. We need our church family. We need, every one of us needs someone in our lives. It makes a difference. I have people I depend on. I have people that I'll call. I have certain people that I need to invest in my life. You never quit needing people. It's important. So don't have the attitude, I don't need nobody, I don't need God. We do. And many people suffer being alone because they can't come to that understanding of, I do need you. I need somebody. You know, people say, I don't need church, you know. I don't need a church and, you know, I'll stay home. No, that's the wrong attitude. We do need a church. The Bible is clear on the importance of coming together as a church body and a family. We need each other. You know, every one of us in here are having battles that you don't know about. Some of you know about some probably, but a lot of you don't know about a lot. You know, we have people in this congregation that are battling all kinds of issues. All kinds of stuff that, you know, if you knew, you'd be like, oh, you did the little, oh, really? They're doing that? But they look so holy and sweet on Sunday in their little dress. You just ruined my image. Well, it's called life. I mean, we have baggage. All of us. And some may be a bigger suitcase than another, so to speak. But you know what? It's all going around the carousel. It's just some a little bit different looking than others. And so we need each other. And we need to know that we're not alone. And we need to be able to call upon God. Now, that's all the verse I got. But I want to recap a few people in the Bible before we close. I want to recap that weren't alone in their storm. I want to think about the story of Abraham real quickly. Abraham, God told Abraham to leave his country and leave his family. Go to a place I'm going to show you. That took a lot to uproot all he had known to go somewhere he didn't know. And God says, you know, go and I will show you the way. Abraham was not alone. And then when he asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac, he listened to God. He obeyed God. Think how that must have felt as he's walking his child up to the altar. And then God spoke to him and says, Abraham, stop. I've got a lamb for you. I've got a ram in the bush. And everything's good. We go into David, all the stories of David, all the times he prayed, all the times he called to God. Lord, I'm surrounded by my enemies. Lord, what do I do? Where do I go? Lord, they're after me. I mean, Saul at one time was after David to kill him. And all these times he felt alone. And think about, see, here's me. Instead of us thinking about how bad someone is and they mess up, I think about what they have to carry now. What they've got to carry. You know, I think about David, how he had all these women and had all the, you know, women he needed and wanted to could ever go through. But for some reason got his eyes fixed on Bathsheba. So he has Uriah, her husband, put on the front line to be killed in war. So now he's guilty of murder. Then he gets Bathsheba pregnant. He's now guilty of adultery. The baby dies. Now let's think about David's life here. Here's David, a good godly man. God called David. God, remember when David, when all the Jesse's sons was going to be appointed king and they all lined up and the prophet Samuel said, no, none of these are it. You got any more kids? I got one more. Go get them. And as soon as David walked up, that's the one. That's the one to be king. Did God make a mistake? No. Did God knew David would sin? Yes. When he called David out of that shepherd field to be king of Israel, God already knew the story we now read called David and Bathsheba. God knew it. So I think about how David, that the burden he carried probably the rest of his life, realizing Uriah was so faithful to David, Bathsheba's husband, that David tried to get him, because see, Bathsheba was pregnant, and David was trying to get her to get Uriah to sneak into Bathsheba to make it look like it was his child. He said, come on in, Uriah, come on to the battlefield. Go in and sleep with your wife and go in and sleep in your room and, you know, have a nice covering because he'd been out in the field all these months or years or whatever. And Uriah was so faithful, he says, I can't go in and sleep in my home whenever my other brethren are out there on the battlefield fighting. I'll just sleep outside. So poor David, I mean, can you imagine? Oh, my God, I can't even get him to come sleep with his wife. What am I going to do? So he not only was he had to carry murder, deceiving, lying, adultery, and losing a child. That's a lot. And that's why I think David said, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He didn't say restore my salvation. Restore the joy of my salvation. Because God, I'm miserable. I'm carrying all this stuff that I've done. I've killed someone that I loved. I've lost a child. You know, I've obtained my name and your name, God, in this kingdom. But yet David lived, and David still was used by God, and David was still God's chosen vessel until the end. So David was not alone, though I'm sure he felt very alone, but he wasn't. We have story after story. I think about the story of Stephen being stoned to death. Remember, Stephen was stoned, and before Paul was transformed, he was part of that. Remember when the Bible says when Stephen was stoned, that the portals of heaven opened up, and Stephen saw the kingdom. He saw and heard the voice of God. In the midst of his death, the midst of him dying, God was showing up, letting him know, you're not alone. I'm in this stoning moment with you, and I'm going to carry you home. God's presence is so powerful if we can recognize that it's here. God is not distant. I hear people say, Lord, I ain't talked to you in a while. Hope you can hear me. Really? Of course he can hear you. He's God. I mean, he's got hearing like a cougar. Like a dog. You know, they make that whistling noise. They hear stuff we can't hear. I mean, of course he can hear you. God's not way off somewhere. He's present. He's with us. He's in us. He's around us. The Bible says that we can't ascend into heaven. He's not there. Well, his presence is there. If we descend to hell, there's his presence. Anywhere we go, the presence of God is there. We can't escape the presence of God. You are not alone. No matter what you're going through, you're not doing it alone. You're a child of God. You've got a father. And he's there. And he's carrying you and helping you. He understands what you're battling and what you're going through. And he still loves you through it all. And God will not turn his back on you. He never has, and he never will, because God is faithful. Understand that God is faithful. Jesus will always, the song said, be there. And he truly will. You're not alone. This Christmas season, if you're battling losing a loved one, you're battling just something that's got you really discouraged, call upon the Lord and remind yourself, God, I know you're there. And you're going to get me through this. And though I may understand it, you know, I don't try to pretend how my grandma feels. I know that grandpa's been gone 5 years. You see, 6 years in February. Does it make it any less real he's gone because 6 years have passed? Of course not. Of course not. And I got Lori's phone number still on my phone. I can't delete it. I come across it the other day. I was going through some contacts and saw her name, and it's still there. I can't delete it. It's like I just, you know, she's been gone for how many years has it been? Four years. I got a voicemail on my church phone. A guy called me, and he's dead now. He died a couple years ago. He left me a message to call him, and I can't delete his voice because I know he's gone. I still got that voicemail. I've not erased it. It's still on there. It doesn't make it less real. And so I know that grandma is still very lonely. I know a lot of you are, and I'm using my grandma because, you know, she's my grandma, so I can relate. I know it's been almost 6 years, and I know it's probably better than it was, but it's still there. And not much better, is it? Yeah, it just doesn't go away. And so when grandma's daughter don't understand her, or I don't understand her, and I'm not saying they do this, but I'm just saying she's talking to one of her daughters, and they say, Mom, you know, really, it's been, you know, you got to move on. I'm sure grandma's like, well, you know, you move on when it happens to you. See how easy it is to move on. They've been married 60 years. 60, right?
60 years and 8 months.
Yeah, almost 61 years. I mean, can you imagine how good she broke Grandpa in 60 years? She couldn't break nobody else in not that good no more. Her job's done. And, you know, I miss them too. We miss those that are gone. You know, the graveyards are full of names that will never be back on the earth. And we've got to understand that we're not alone. The grandma can still shout in her kitchen, even though Grandpa's not there. She still prays the Lord and talk to him and somehow get that peace to go to bed at night and just rest all night long knowing the presence of God surrounds her. We're not alone. So is this holiday season, Christmas will be here in a couple of weeks, and it's a bad time for a lot of people. You're not alone. Remember that. We want to pray for someone this morning. Let me tell you a little background before we pray. Dina Mullins from West Virginia texted me this morning. Or last night, late actually, and she is divorced from Jamie, her husband. They've been divorced over a year. We've been keeping up with Dina all these years, and we've been talking to her through the years, and we knew what was going on, but they've been divorced over a year, and it's really a sad situation. She's under a lot of attack right now by Jamie, and by other people. Jamie has some problems in his life that he needs real deliverance from, some real problems. Some demons and strongholds have just got him completely bound. And, you know, they were married for many years, have two children together, two boys, and she's under such attack that she's had to get the law involved to protect her own home and protect her children and her life. He's in a dangerous place right now, and she's really afraid for her family. And so she texted if we could have people stand in for her this morning, that this demonic attack against her life, and that's what it is, it's a demonic attack from this man. And it's not even who Jamie is. He used to come here. Y'all know Jamie, quiet, mild, a sweet guy, but just letting the enemy come in and get him off on the wrong road, and he is just really gone wild, and has some major addictive issues need to be broken. And so we want to pray for her. I know all of you don't know Dina, but she came here for several years before they moved to West Virginia. Sweet, godly woman. Has put up with a lot with Jamie through the years. Had good reason to leave him many years ago, really, but stuck with it and stuck in there trying to be the right Christian wife to him that she could be. And she's actually a pastor's daughter here. Dad's a preacher for many, many years. I'm going to ask, I want my grandma and my mother and Melanie to come up here, if you would, and stand in proxy for Dina, that this demonic stronghold will be broken, that she will be left alone, and that she will have peace for her and her family. And if y'all would just stand, if you wouldn't mind standing with us, the congregation, as we pray, I'd appreciate that. I got that last song right there on there. Let's play it real low. Just real low. You're still recording this too, right, Jeremy?
Yes.
Okay, because I want Dina to be able to hear this. Do what? Yeah, she's got two boys, Ben and Santino. Santina. So, go ahead. We want to anoint each of you. And let me explain what's happening in case you don't understand what's happening right now. We believe in anointing with oil. It's scriptural. There's no power in this oil, but there's power in the Holy Spirit. And this has been prayed over to be used for God's service. And what we're doing right now, Dina is 300 miles away or so. We are standing in behalf of her, believing this prayer will be a breakthrough for where she is at. And that's why we're doing this. Lord, we pray for Dina right now in the name of Jesus, that every demonic stronghold will be broken, that, Lord, she will have peace, that Jamie will find deliverance and salvation in your grace and in your mercy, that her family will be safe, her boys will be safe, that they will grow up, Lord, to be prosperous young men that have joy and peace and understanding of you and your word. We speak against the dark powers of the enemy right now that have tried to destroy and break her life, break her thoughts, break her spirit, and break her home. And we rebuke it and we bind it under your authority, under your name, in the name of Jesus. Let there be deliverance for Dina and her children. Let there be freedom. Let the chains be broken. Let the darkness give way to light. In Jesus' name we pray, in the name of our Lord and Savior, let it be done. We declare the warfare be broken, and that there be a submission and a surrenderance to your name and your power. And we lift Dina up, God, right now. Let her find the peace and joy in you again and her salvation. Protect her home. Let no evil befall it. Let no plague come nigh it. Let no damage or trouble or violence or attack, Lord, have any prosperity in that home. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you for it and give you praise and believe it, Lord, as we stand in for her right now. In Jesus' name. Dina, we love you and your family and your boys so much. And as we have said this prayer for you, we are believing God has heard this prayer. And we are believing for a turnaround. We are believing for a change. Accept that right now, Dina, and receive that. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Congregation, you can be seated for a minute. Thank you for your reverence in that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Church, we never know what someone else is going through. We've been talking with her for years about what's been happening. I don't like seeing a family like that just so destroyed. A good, godly family destroyed. Mom, if you would, I'd like you to try to get this message on by tomorrow sometime if you can, just so I can call Dina so she can hear this prayer and this word. I know it'll encourage her. All right. You can stop that. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it. I want to remind each of you tonight, of course, is our Christmas dinner and play, so bring lots of good food and no Brussels sprouts, Chastity Blevins. So we She teased me on the texting yesterday about bringing Brussels sprouts full of butter. They could be full of me Pablos. I wouldn't eat them. I don't want to do no Brussels sprouts. So who else doesn't like Brussels sprouts in here? Does anybody just absolutely hate Brussels sprouts? Several of you. And some of the older folks. See, I don't feel so bad. All right. It's going to start at 6 o'clock tonight. The plan is we'll eat first. We'll have our tables and all set up out there. I know it's going to be tight. Hopefully next year we'll be in a new building. I talked to the banker Friday, followed up with Al, and everything is looking good. He's going to have us on pace to hopefully be able to close out our loan first to mid-January. And we'll be hopefully be building our new fellowship hall in the back. The next couple of months is the plan. So we're excited about that. We need that. So hopefully next year we'll be in that new building for our Christmas dinner, have a lot more space and room spread out. But it will be tight, but that's okay. It's going to be good. And so we'll eat first, fellowship, and then we'll come back in the sanctuary, and the children and adults have a Christmas play that they'll be doing. So it's going to be a great time tonight. I do need some gentlemen right after service to please, if you'll go, the building is unlocked. There's like 40 chairs and 6 or 7 tables, folded tables. If y'all can just bring those in, sit them in the hall. You ain't got to set them up, just bring them in. I'll take care of the rest. That would be a big, big help. And I need a couple strong guys. Take the podium. It needs to be set off somewhere and move the thing in the hall up here, the big piece Randy built. And I appreciate that. It won't take long. Just need a little bit of help. Ushers, come on up. We'll receive our morning offering. Don't forget, it's the last month of giving for this year. So it's a great time to catch up your contributions if you've been holding back or not giving, or just catch them up this month so it can count on your year this year. Good month to do all that. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that we are not alone. Though the holiday season can bring some sorrow and sadness, God, I pray you remind each of us that with you, you are always with us, that you comfort us, that you help us, that you heal us, that you strengthen us, and that even the bad memories, God, you can turn into good memories, that you can take the sadness and turn it into joy. We thank you, God, that you don't leave us. Thank you, God, we would be lost without you, hopeless without you, without help without you. Thank you, Jesus, for the strength we find in you. We pray for this offering today that you bless it and you use it for your glory. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.